created like that. That thing is not even in your biological frame. It is in the mental construct. To look at a man and admire the nose, the pink lips, a man. There's something psychological about that. And the reason why the fellow is feeling is a strong is because there are voices that seem to agree that makes it look normal. For instance, it is going to be difficult in this part of the world. We can't say all over the world. In this part of the world, to be attracted to a cat, at least for now. It will be difficult. But if you go to places where you've seen somebody has married even the pulpit of a church, I married this pulpit, then you know anything is possible because of the orientation. Cut off the source. What it strengthens will die. Okay? Understand that you have that doesn't mean God rejects you or God hates you. You might even have gone deep in that. You can stop. The same way you can stop other things. Okay? Cut off the source of the flame. Make sure you are, and that's where accountability is very serious. Unfortunately, you can be accountable to a wrong person. But if God has planted you in a house with a shepherd like this, a man whose heart is wide and mature, that will not come to church and say, "You will not believe what so and so said." You can know that you are safe. You can be taught. See, there's a principle in Isaiah 10 verse 27. It says that it will come to pass that the yokes shall be broken from off your shoulders by the reason of the anointing. The root word there is that the yoke will no longer be able to fit in because of fatness. So there's something growing up spiritually does that the same yoke that used to enter, yokes don't increase in size. You are the ones that can increase. The same thing should not be able to fit in if you grow. You can outgrow certain feelings. You can't just pray it out and refuse to grow and say, no, it will catch up with you there. Okay? Keep growing, be accountable, and then cut. Know that every orientation fueling it is a lie from the pit of hell. Guess what? It is possible to be attracted to same sex and still speak in tongues. The same person can fornicate and still speak in tongues. And when that happens, you just feel God approves. No, it's not everything that God allows that he approves of. Cut off everything fueling that is strengthening your belief that it is normal. You will see it will gradually die. Be accountable. Be in a place where you can be taught and mature. And that should end.
Please put your hands together. If I can add some thoughts to that, first and foremost, even from the question, you see that Apostle Femi Lazarus was right, because if you have same-sex attraction coupled with pornography, there is clearly a reinforcement. I don't know if you get, do you see the consistency with the question and what he just said? I also know that when you look at the Bible, you see that some people, even in their sins, had some certain proclivities. And you see Samson, for instance, his problem was with women. We don't see any evidence that he had any problem with money or stealing or something like that. But then you see Judas, his problem was with money, and we don't see any evidence that he had any problem with women, vice versa. And so what happens when you have same-sex attraction, other people don't understand? Well, one thing is common to all men, and that's temptation. And that the fact that you have a legitimate temptation doesn't justify the fact that it must be gratified. It's the same way someone sees stuff that doesn't belong to him, he really wants to steal it, but shouldn't steal it. And so just the fact that you feel something legitimately from your perspective does not mean that it must be gratified. Guess what? The same way you can be born again all your life and still face temptations. It is possible. You're born again, you believe in Jesus, and you still have these temptations. And so the word of the Lord is consistent for all people, no matter the context of your temptations. Walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And that's the word of God to everybody. Please, help me appreciate Apostle one more time. Thank you, sir. I'm thinking, okay, this has been answered. Okay. I am a very intelligent and independent woman. Okay. Don't judge. What's wrong with you? But I notice that once I get into a relationship, I become attached. I'm all about the person. It seems like I overcare. I think this is a good question. I overcare such that I am only focused on that person. I want them to grow. I want them to do better. I want them to get closer to God. This has ended up ruining my relationships. How do I care for someone I'm dating and love them without losing my individuality?
First thing first, this is an incomplete narrative. It's a single story. Usually, nature like this comes with also a toxic side, where it is very possible that you are also, and this is not me judging now, concluding too fast about people's commitment. It is not necessarily your care that is doing what you are seeing. Because people who are not out there, sometimes the mistake is that once you see someone you can go all out for, you overdo it. And you may also make decisions too fast now that you are making it. Okay? So you need to be able to diagnose this rightly and know what it is, what the issue is. And then outside marriage, commitment has limit. It has limit. You commit with
that's
sense.
Deep right there. Deep right there.
Okay? You can't go all the way. There are aspects of commitment you save till it's certain this is the person. Okay? And in all honesty, in most cases, it is not certain until it is done.
Yes.
That's what, breakfast can be served on bed and anywhere. That is when it is certain. So check, you know, the same way you buy catfish, grilled catfish, they say it comes certain sides,
yes.
Chips and all those things. So there are sides that come with that nature. And that is what you need to look at. Okay? So deal with your assumptions. And sometimes people have met somebody for just a week and they will call the person, meet my fiance. You've only known each other for a week.
And when should it be matching clothes?
And when everything finally breaks, you say, it's my fault because I'm so caring. No, it is not because you are so caring, because you are also not wise. And you need to balance it. And all should be well. There's nothing deep about this. Thank you.
As a 16-year-old, hold on. Hey, this is a safe environment, right? As a 16-year-old, 300-level student, if I see a guy whom I like and God supports me to marry, can we enter into courtship stage?
Amen. Now, let me say something that might be very shocking. I was probably just 18 when I went to meet my church pastor that I like sister so and so and so and I want to marry her. And what helped me was that the pastor never said, what? You? Rather, he looked at me and he said, oh, wow, bro, Femi. He added, bro. And he said, well, I know you're a very smart young man. I know you love God. And the person, I know, yeah, she's my daughter. I know she also loves God. And God will be with you. That was what he said. Even when he knew that it won't end well. But anyways, I did not need his validation. I just went to tell him for his information. If he had discouraged it, would have still done it behind. That would have landed us in more trouble. So this girl is actually not asking the wrong question. Because after all, in the days of our fathers, at 16, you are preparing to get married already. Okay? But I will just advise her, give it time. You have time on your side. You can become so much. All right? You might be marrying someone you should mentor because you are doing it too fast. So give it time. Discover yourself to discover the kind of person you need.
I want to ask you a question about this. Does this reflect sometimes a dysfunction in our society? What is a 16-year-old doing in 300 level? Because now, when you are surrounded by people who are thinking about marriage, preparing for marriage, that environment pushes you into a premature maturity. You know, so what do you think about that?
You've entered something really deep.
Yes.
Most times, particularly when a lady has a circle of friends and all the people they are married, the pressure becomes stronger. My advice is this. You will need at least two people that you have similar experience in your circle so that you will not be under undue pressure. All right? I mean, for this girl in 300 level, obviously she's seen people do this and that's where the pressure is coming from. So, let me put it like this. You need someone that reminds you of your actual state.
Oh, yes. Your actual age. Yes. What?
A friend of mine was going to get married a few years back. And he requested I should be his best man. So I said, I will. The people were too convinced that Apostle Lazarus will never be your best man. Talk less of going to one thick village where there was no good hotel for the wedding. So I went. Somebody comforted me and said, why did you do that? I said, I need someone that will always remind me of where God took me from. That person must be in your circle. Okay? So that girl, you need at least one person. That will not bring you into a place of complacency. But that reminds you of your actual state. So you will not overdrive yourself. All right? I'm happy that a 16-year-old is, advancing. But take it easy. You have so much you can become before you start thinking of this. That's my advice.
Okay. Please appreciate that response. Think about it. I don't think it's a good idea. I just want to put it out there. I couldn't resist. I don't think it's a good idea. Your life is just starting. You have to understand when you get married, what's the plan? Is the husband going to understand, okay, you're just a baby. So, no, you're just, sorry, excuse that expression. So, what then happens? You start having children. Do you know how that takes from you, your focus in life, when you should have that drive, discover yourself, discover your purpose. Now you're nursing children. More or less in the prime of your life, I don't think it's a good idea. Anyway. So, what did that pastor say? God will.
He said God will help me. In fact, when everything ended, he just said, "Hey, yeah, wow." He was not surprised.
Okay. So let me say what the pastor said. God will help you. Amen. I saw a very good question here. Maybe this can be the last one. Apostle, I think this is a deep one. And I really feel this. This lady says, I've been single for almost 5 years. Weirdly, before then, I always had dozens of prospects. But it seems like I have walked into a hidden season because I haven't met anyone new in years. I've prayed and fasted. What can I do?
Okay. And can we appreciate this question? I really wanted to touch this part in my teaching. That the same season will not be open forever. There comes a season where showers become trickles, and trickles becomes a season of drought. Sometimes, Permit me to be very raw.
Please.
It is because we did not maximize the season of showers. People think it will be like that forever. And it's not always so. Both for males and females. You can enter a phase as a man where all the girls are bouncing you no. Because they feel you are too old for them. And vice versa. So, what that means is that a door looks closed. Is there a biblical way to initiate seasons? Or to turn back the hands of time? First, it is possible. In fact, in the book of Job, the Bible says that I will restore the years that the locusts and the cankerworms have eaten. This is a very deep subject. When that season changes and people enter that season of scarcity, it comes with its own orientation, where the person becomes desperate without knowing. And what elongates that dry season is the fact that when people are thinking about this person, they are also seeing obvious desperation. Are you with me? Are you sure? Guys don't like what they can't chase.
Oh, yes.
And when a guy feels, why is it like everyone has left this person? If you look, I'm the one picking this person. They start withdrawing. Even when you see that a season seems to have closed partially, maintain your sense of dignity. Never get to the point where you are over flaunting it like one who is desperate. What you should do is to maximize that season to prepare yourself for what God is bringing. Listen to this. With God, His best is never in the past. The best of God is never in the past. And what you are about to learn is that God is wiser than men. You are about to be introduced to the dimension of God that is a dimension of all sufficiency, where you will see that God has something for you, and this is not the way to pacify you. He always does. As someone for you beyond what you could have gone for.
Amen.
But what you have to do is to be rightly positioned and maintain your sense of dignity. You can never be disadvantaged when you cling to God. There's a wisdom part. While you are in the season of showers, understand, it will not rain forever. When the rain is becoming trickles, start checking. And when it looks like everything is dried, maintain your composure. Just know, okay, it's not over. I'm not disadvantaged. 1 year, 2 years. There are people that are in a situation whereby you can have 14 guys coming around them and they are all wrong. And there's this lady that just one person, and that's the right person. Okay? Pray, seek the face of God, dress well. We should add that.
Oh, yes.
Try not to look your age. Look younger. Hello. No, we don't like this bitter truth. Don't say, when the guy comes around, you say, me to you, I should be your elder sister. Nonsense. Okay? Try, present yourself as one who is ready for this season. You discover you can never miss it with God. And make sure you are doing what is right. The best of God is never in the past. He will settle you in His time.
Please put your hands together. I'm going to give you one final opportunity to celebrate this great man of God. Celebrate him. Thank you, Apostle. Please keep clapping, keep clapping. Listen, are you a doer of the word? Are you going to go over what you learned tonight? How many of you believe there are some things that were said that need to you need to go over. You believe that, so you're going to listen to the sermon again. God brought you here for a reason, and we are doers of the word. Say, I'm a doer of the word. Hallelujah. Please be seated for a few seconds. I want us to give our offerings. I don't want to take much of your time. The account number will be on the screen. So I want you to give a love gift. Hallelujah.